folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Sertikoff-Romola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I work with practitioners just like you who are tired of the status quo in our field and are ready to reclaim their confidence, passion, and purpose. In today's episode, I'm responding to some frustrations that not only I have felt as a dietitian, but that many of the clients I work with have felt lately as well. There is this idea out there that there is somehow one correct way of being a dietitian, looking like a dietitian, progressing through your career as a dietitian, and ultimately finding success and happiness. There are also a lot of coaches out there touting their proven frameworks that have worked for dozens of other practitioners and convince us that we'll be the next success story. But all of this ultimately leaves us feeling pretty discouraged and disconnected when it doesn't work, or this one right way doesn't feel like a good fit for us. Listen in to this episode as I unpack this concept of one right way, where it comes from, how we perpetuate it, and how we can do things differently instead. Last week, I alluded to today's episode, and it's one that has been a long time in the making. At least, it's been floating around in my brain for a while. As dietitians, we are taught that for most things in life, especially in our careers, there is, in fact, one correct way. There is one correct way to write a PES statement, as evidenced by my memories of going around the classroom, reading our PES statements out loud in undergrad, and having them critiqued for improvement. There is one correct way to become a dietitian, to move through your career as a dietitian. And the list goes on. For a while, I was comforted by this concept of one right way. It was clear, it was concrete, it was decisive. It fed my anxious type A desire to be given specific instructions. Tell me what to do. Tell me what you expect of me, and I will do it. I will fulfill your expectations and exceed them if I can. Whenever a professor gave vague instructions with the explicit intention of pushing us out of our comfort zones, of following rote instructions like little dietetic student robots, I hated it. Why won't you tell me what you're looking for? Why won't you give me step-by-step directions? Even when I started this business, I was drawn to that level of decisiveness. I fell for all of the marketing by coaches promising success via their proven frameworks and step-by-step methods. And even as I was working to challenge my own perfectionism and trust my intuition, in the realm of business, something that I had very little training in, I wanted answers. I wanted the magic secret formula, and I was willing to pay a hefty amount of money to someone promising to give me that. I know a lot of dietitians can relate. I know because you tell me. Many of you are also drawn to these marketing ploys, and who wouldn't be? The confidence of these coaches is impressive. I'll give them that. And they come in strong. And I should pause here and say, this episode isn't only about the business world, though I will be pulling on entrepreneurship as a dietitian relatively heavily, as I feel it's one of the most in-your-face examples of this phenomena happening within the field at the moment. But if you're not a business owner and don't plan to be, don't worry. You know me. You know I'm going to make this worth your while too. So back to the business coaches for a second. And if you're a business coach, this isn't to throw shade at you. I want you to be confident in what you do, and I want you to believe in what you do. And also, maybe this is your invitation to look at your work and your messaging from a different perspective. So we see all of these professionals who work with dietitians, And so many of them talk about how they take the stress out of blank, insert your goal here. They have the proven framework that you've been missing that's standing in the way of you, whatever. Hitting six figures in your business, quitting your current job, feeling confident in your clinical skills, learning to blog or podcast or write or freelance and so on, right? And we're burnt out. We're exhausted. We're struggling with imposter thoughts, so we don't believe much in ourselves. The appeal of trusting in someone who does believe in themselves, who delivers a sexy message with a sexy promise. We buy it. We welcome their direction with open arms. We want them to tell us what to do and how to do it. I get it. I've been there. And folks, I am a good student. I know a lot of you listening are too, if not all of you. So I followed the rules. I did my homework. I checked all the boxes. I did everything right. And each and every time, I was disappointed. I didn't quit my job within a year of starting my business. I didn't hit six figures or five-figure launches. I didn't fill up my client roster. And even more than that, I didn't feel good about the work that I was doing. Not every coach that I've hired has made big promises. Again, this is far from a roast for any individual coach that I've had. My business in particular is unique, and most coaches I've had have recognized that and tempered expectations. So it wasn't necessarily that I didn't, you know, become a millionaire in 3 months. It wasn't only that I was putting in all of the work and not hitting the goals that I had set for myself. It was that I was putting in all of the work and not hitting the goals I had set for myself and feeling really disconnected the whole time. I wasn't happy with the frameworks I was being taught. When I mentioned that, I mostly got told, well, you have to do it this way for now, so that eventually you can do it your own way with success. Maybe they're right. Hold on to that. But as a tangent, that feels a lot like the narrative that you have to spend 2 years in clinical to pay your dues before you can have the career that you really want successfully. And that's not true. So is it true for this? More and more as well, this has been coming up for a lot of the dietitians I supervise. And that, plus the fact that I'm currently enrolling for the next cohort of my group program for dietitians, so I've been thinking a great deal about marketing language and expectations, it felt like an important time to discuss this in more depth. Here's the thing, all of it, this idea that there is one right way for anything is BS. There is no one right way to start your career as a dietitian, to progress through your career as a dietitian, to find value in life, define success, achieve success, start a business, grow a business, make money, take care of yourself. None of it. I know that's maybe frustrating to hear. And I've heard it from dietitians who do find coaches who take a less definitive approach, shall we say. I hear feedback on a lot of coaches in our industry. And the ones who do have that more fluid, like, hey, there isn't one right way to do this. We can try this. We can try that. Let's see how it goes. I know many of you are frustrated by that because it doesn't give you that easy cut and paste answer or path that you're hoping for. But I also know how frustrating it is to make the really hard decision to invest in someone's help, but to do it anyway because they are so confident their approach will work for you. And you put in all of the work and do everything right, and it's not working for you. The reason this happens so much in our lives and careers is because it's deeply enmeshed in our culture. Specifically, and one of the biggest pieces of this episode is that one right way is a core tenet of white supremacy culture. In fact, the phrase one right way is verbatim a standalone characteristic or sometimes sub-characteristic of white supremacy culture. I've seen it referenced both ways in different documents. And the extent to which we crave it is really a prime example of how white supremacy culture shows up within dietetics, as well as within society overall. As a synopsis, if you haven't heard me or anyone else speak on this subject before, white supremacy culture has specific characteristics associated with it. Essentially, worldviews, perspectives, and assumptions that are held to be true within a white supremacist culture. We often accept them as truth or reality without realizing that there are other worldviews out there, other perspectives, and other assumptions that can be held to be true. Because again, largely because of the fact that our society in particular is rooted in white supremacy and white supremacy culture, it's more or less presumed that the way we do things is correct, and therefore no alternative is needed. The way that this is described by Tima Okun and Kenneth Jones, who are largely credited for outlining the characteristics, though I can't say for sure if they were the first to originate them, but they're largely credited for outlining them. They speak of the concept of one right way by saying, end quote, the belief that there is one right way to do things. And once people are introduced to the right way, they will see the light and adopt it. When they do not adapt or change, then something is wrong with them, the other, those not changing, not with us, those who, quote unquote, know the right way. There are two pieces of this that we need to unpack today. First, what I've been alluding to, how we ourselves fall victim, for lack of a better word, to this messaging, and also in contrast, how we ourselves perpetuate this messaging in our own work, which is something that we started to discuss in last week's episode. First, though, let's talk about how we fall victim to it. We already have, right? We've covered how it's so tempting to believe someone when they say they have the answer to solve all of our problems. We're going to come back to that in a second, but let's also expand this conversation beyond business. One side effect of having the concept of one right way ingrained into us is that we become very afraid of doing things the quote-unquote wrong way. It feeds directly into perfectionism, another characteristic of white supremacy culture, to create this strong aversion to going against the grain. We are taught the value of playing by the rules and doing things quote-unquote correctly. Coloring outside the lines, so to speak, is discouraged. So we conform, right? And if we don't, we're likely to struggle. We toe the line, we do the internship, we take the exam, we become clinical RDs for 2 years to pay our dues, whatever it is. We take the promotion because it's the next logical step. We go into private practice because that's the only way to make real money. Again, the examples of how this can show up in our profession is a nearly endless list. How have you felt pressured to conform to the one right way within dietetics? Maybe it has to do with one of my earlier episodes a few weeks ago about eating disorders within dietetics. Maybe it has to do with trying to conform your body to what a dietitian is supposed to look like or meet people's expectations for how a dietitian should eat. For one of my clients, it was feeling so miserable in a clinical job that she went into private practice because that's just what you do, right? And struggled and hustled and invested so much money in all of the coaches and followed their frameworks and did all of the things, and it still wasn't working. She still wasn't happy. For another one of my clients, it was feeling pressured to take on a managerial position, a promotion, to be sure, at her company, but realizing that the next step that everyone expected her to take wasn't what she actually wanted at all. When we try to conform in a way that isn't right for us, we do exactly what our bodies do when trying to force them into a size or shape that isn't right for them. We rebel or we suffer. or we develop maladaptations to try to survive in unfavorable conditions. We certainly aren't happy. Still, we gravitate back to the promises of people who will make it better for us, because it's often all we've been taught to do. Which brings us back to why these messages from coaches are so tempting. They have the proven framework. They know the right steps in the right order to make things easy. And again, you're tired. You're overcommitted. And all you want is someone to make whatever process you're in the middle of a little less burdensome. Add to that fact that we see success stories all around us. We see dietitians following these frameworks and making boatloads of money. We see dietitians finding fulfillment in clinical work and gaining respect. We see dietitians going through the motions of 2 years in clinical to pay their dues. We see dietitians quitting their jobs to be full-time bloggers or podcasters or writers. Whatever it is that feels like there's only one right way, or that fits into the narratives we've been talking through this episode, chances are you can find a success story for it. You can find another person or dietitian who has done the thing and is happy or successful or whatever. And so we think, well, these strategies worked for them. So if they're not working for me, then clearly I'm the problem. This is exactly how so many of our patients and clients get caught up in the dieting trap too, right? In fact, because diet culture is just a fancy way of referring to the trifecta of white supremacy culture, patriarchy, and capitalism, it's rooted in these same characteristics or values, including the concept of one right way. And our patients, our clients, they're tired too. They're lost and exasperated. They're vulnerable to the promises of the diet industry. This diet is different. This isn't a diet at all. It's a lifestyle change. We have the secret that all those other programs don't have. This time, it'll be different. Sound familiar? Now, because this is so common and so ingrained, we not only have to be on the lookout for how we kind of fall for this line of thinking, or how our clients or patients may have gotten wrapped up in it, we also have to look inwards and do a gut check of, are we perpetuating these messages too? I know I have, in multiple different ways. When I first started out as a dietitian, a newbie fresh out of school, I had spent the past few years being told by every professor that I was going to be the nutrition expert. I mentioned that in last week's episode, right? And a lot of what I was taught was, again, nutrition education, not counseling. That is, I was taught to tell and to teach and to inform, not really to center the patient. In theory, sure, we were supposed to center our patients, but the message was ultimately deep down, dietitians are the nutrition experts. We know best. So our job is to show our clients what they're missing so they can see the light and do it our way. Can you relate to that? Do you remember coming out of school with that mentality? Or being taught that mentality? Again, it's rooted in this concept of there being one right way. Another way that I've personally perpetuated this message without realizing it is with my own business. When I started empowering dietitians, I was taught by my first coach that I needed a framework. I needed a three-step or a five-step or whatever step program that would walk dietitians through their journeys with me. So I created one. I still honestly use a bit of the language to this day, at least at the time of this recording. I talk about my intuitive living framework, and maybe that'll change in the future. It certainly has already changed in the way that I talk about it and present it and use it, which we'll see if we get to later on in this episode. If not, it can be another episode. But when I first started out in business, my framework was everything. I was taught to refer to it as proven because I had gone through a 4-week beta program with 4 test dietitians. And I was taught to be really clear in my process. When you signed up to work with me, yeah, I individualized my work, but I was taught to create like a roadmap. Again, that's technically something that I still do, though the way that I originally did it, I know now is kind of BS. My style has evolved tremendously. Early on, we stuck to that roadmap pretty diligently. and I was much more detailed with learning objectives and all the bells and whistles. It isn't that I don't use roadmaps that I create for clients. Again, we do still, but my clients who are listening might even be laughing because we know we don't get through the whole thing. And they are much less detailed than they used to be. They're like 4 sentences, 4 bullet points. The purpose of the roadmap now kind of eases dietitians' anxiety when they start working in supervision because it is a pretty esoteric concept still. So sometimes they're worried that they won't know what to talk about. So I create a roadmap of what big topics we can cover in a specific order so that if they're stuck or they aren't sure where to go, we have a plan. It's helpful in that sense. Once they get into it, though, they very rarely aren't sure what to talk about. Sometimes I do still refer back to the initial goals we set, and it can be useful in checking in with what's important to them now versus when they started. But I definitely sold it in a very, like, at the beginning, I sold it in a very kind of hardcore way. Like, I have a framework and I will create a roadmap that we will walk you through the exact steps you need. And when you come out on the other side, you will be a changed dietitian. We'll talk about what I'm moving to instead in a minute. At least I think I will. Again, this is a long episode, I have a feeling. But before moving onto the last way that I've personally perpetuated this concept of there being one right way unintentionally, I'd encourage you to pause to reflect, especially if you're a business owner or you do similar work of walking people through specific steps to help them achieve an outcome. Again, kind of tied up in the one right way is a very outcomes-driven mindset as opposed to a process-oriented one, which is a tangent for another day. Again, this is such a big topic. But pause and reflect. Again, it isn't that you can't have a guiding framework or loose steps to help organize your work or message. Remember, I still use the words framework and roadmap, but they look different than when I first started, and in fact are in the process of evolving even more as we speak, as I continue to root out the outcomes-oriented language in my business and replace it with more process-oriented language. So take some time to think, what expectations do you set by talking about proven frameworks and methodologies? What anxieties are you seeking to quell in your patient or client base by using that approach? And lastly, what do we risk by asserting ourselves as the solution to our clients' deepest problems? Some food for thought as we move on. All right, so last one. And this one is a sneaky SOB, let me tell you. This one goes out to all of my intuitive eating and haze dietitians. And again, we talked about this in last week's episode. So if you listen to that, it'll be a little bit of review. But I think it's important to hear these things more than once, especially when it comes to confronting some of the gremlins in our own closets. See, I notice a lot of dietitians in the non-diet and haze spaces adopt a line of messaging that is actually rooted in this concept of white supremacy culture without realizing it. And again, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, check it out because I go over it there too, but I talked about the power over mentality and how it sneaks into our work as non-diet practitioners. Again, power hoarding, like perfectionism and one right way, it's another characteristic of white supremacy culture. And they all feed in to reinforce one another. The trap this gets us caught in sometimes is when we realize the harms of dieting and start to adopt a haze-aligned approach, we have a kind of like see the light moment ourselves, and therefore sometimes assume that everyone will have their own see the light moment if we give them the right information. There it is. This is another way of saying, my way is the right way. And if you don't think so, that's because you're uninformed and ignorant. Clearly, anyone who knows anything about health and wellness will realize the error of their ways and adopt a weight-neutral approach, either as a practitioner or a client. That's not actually true, but I've been there. I've acted that way. I understand how we get caught in that logic, right? I've had that tinge of self-righteousness in my approach as a new non-diet RD. And this is a deeper conversation. There are some nuances to it, but the bottom line is that we don't get to dictate how other dietitians practice or how other people choose to live. And them making decisions that don't align with how you practice or live does not make them inherently wrong. I mention these anecdotes from my own life because I know many of us, most of us, possibly even all of us, have perpetuated this messaging at some point in some way. There's no shame or guilt or judgment in that. It's how we were taught to act as a human in this society and as a dietitian as well. But if we are frustrated by feeling like there's pressure to be a certain way as a dietitian, or that the cookie cutter approaches aren't working for you, the first step is to recognize how we ourselves are wrapped up in this culture, how we've been complicit too. That work is ongoing. Like I said, I'm continuing to evolve my messaging to try to decolonize it and untangle it from the sneaky forms of white supremacy that I was never taught to recognize most of my life. That is ongoing work. But once we start to acknowledge that this isn't just something that is done to us, but also something that we ourselves perpetuate, then we can start doing the work to separate ourselves from it. Start to take a look at your own messaging and approach, and really your worldviews and perspectives overall. This isn't just limited to your professional practice. And if you aren't sure what that means, or you aren't sure what your worldviews are or your perspectives are in general, then maybe supervision or finding a support system or finding a course or program that can help you work through it will help. And also really question yourself when you feel drawn to those messages of like someone telling you that they have the answer to whatever it is you're struggling with. What is it that feels so appealing to you? And is that actually what you need realistically? Or is it just appeasing the fear or anxiety or burnout or whatever that's sitting within you? It's one of the things that I've grappled with most in this launch of my upcoming group cohort, because I knew I didn't want to do a like free workshop promising you all of the things, when really I knew that the primary motive behind me doing a big free event is to give you just enough information that you actually want more, and so that I can get a bunch of dietitians in a room together so I can tell them about my program. There are other reasons to do free events, to be sure. That's a conversation for another day. Again, choosing to do them is not inherently right or wrong. It's more about checking in with how they make you feel and what purpose they're serving. So I knew I didn't want to play into this messaging of one right way. I also knew my approach to supervision has been changing dramatically. Again, I focus less on that roadmap and more on showing up for you, however you need me to in that moment. Because I know that there isn't one right way to address whatever challenges you're facing. And I won't promise that to you, which maybe is refreshing, but it's also a little weak in the marketing department, right? Like, I don't have some sexy promise or hook to be like, follow my framework and you will XYZ. Or in just six short months, you'll go from blank to blank. Not easily, anyway. Not particularly authentically. So I've had to really change my language and my strategies. And honestly, as I do, it feels so much better. Because I was following all of the frameworks and gold standards. And I mean, they weren't unsuccessful. And in many ways, the work that I put in using those frameworks probably did help set the stage for me being able to launch the way that I am this time around with less fanfare. And that might go back to kind of what I talked about earlier in this episode about how some coaches will say like, well, you have to do it this time around so that you can do it your way moving forward. Maybe there's a hint of truth in that, but I don't think that we need to force ourselves to act inauthentically against our values, against our ethics, or do things that feel wrong just to be a means to an end. Now, I don't regret any of my investments, and I hope that you don't regret yours either. Even when you feel like they don't work, they can still teach us things. They can help us plant seeds. I'm not writing them off in this episode by any means, but I also recognize that the moment I started to trust myself and to surround myself with people who understood me and truly helped me to be myself more authentically, that was when all of this business stuff started to feel a hell of a lot easier. And that's not a coincidence. So if you're feeling like something isn't clicking for you, you've tried the courses and the gurus and the frameworks, you've climbed the ladder and been a team player at your job, you've let yourself be swayed by the success stories of other dietitians around you, and it's not sitting well with you, you're not seeing the results, you're feeling frustrated, you're unhappy, you're still burnt out, maybe it's time to do things differently. Maybe you don't actually need someone who claims that their framework or their advice is the missing piece for you. Maybe you don't need to continue doing things the way they've always been done because that's the way they've always been done. Maybe it's time for a change. My one dietitian who was miserable in her private practice, she recently made the brave decision to switch gears and try something different because she was tired of the struggle and she wasn't enjoying the work. And she stopped telling herself the story that that meant something about her worth or that there was something wrong with her, and started to change the narrative to be, hey, this work isn't aligned with what I want in life, so I'm going to find what is. My dietitian client who felt pressured to take the promotion because it was the quote unquote next logical step in her career, she turned it down. She went to a position that gave her a lot more energy and time for herself, and recently started a passion project with her husband outside of work that is adding to her sense of fulfillment in life overall. Another one of my clients, who I didn't mention it earlier in today's episode yet, has been expressing frustration over her business growth. She's hired multiple coaches, and whenever they look at the work she's doing, they're like, I don't know, you're doing everything right. You're doing it exactly like we tell you to do, but it isn't working for her and she's frustrated. So we're working on doing it differently, figuring out what her values are and working in a way that aligns with them, in a way that feels right to her. Now I know this episode is long. I think I haven't been keeping track of the time, but I can tell by my notes. There's a lot in it. So the bottom line is just do it your own damn way. There is no such thing as a framework that works for everyone. There is no such thing as a career that works for everyone. I've learned over the years working with dietitians that my job isn't to teach you what I know or to get you to do things how I do it. Every dietitian I work with has a unique story and a unique experience. I can't predict where you'll be after 6 months of participating in my group program for dietitians, whether you'll start a business or grow a business or quit your job or get a raise or start a side passion project or feel more confident or be fully recovered from burnout. I can't predict outcomes, but I can commit to being by your side every step of the way and meeting you where you're at, helping you gain clarity on who you are and what's right for you. And if that sounds good, check out the show notes or the outro for more in my group program. Regardless, I don't have all the answers for you, but I sure as hell am here to jump into the deep end with you and help you figure it out. And so are the other dietitians who will be joining you in the next cohort. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. Your support means the world to me. If you find yourself struggling as a dietitian, I'd love to be able to support you in return. The next cohort of the Empowering Dietitians Group Program is starting in October, and enrollment is open now. This program is uniquely designed to hold space for you as a practitioner. Experience the transformative power of small group support, where you can show up each week in all of your messiness and know that your cohort and I will be there every step of the way, through the tears, the frustration, the fear, the changes in your career, the wins, all of it. Learn more about this program, which past participants have called life-changing, at www.empoweringdietitians.com/group. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/group.